Good morning. Thank you for all being here today to share in the Dharma. As most of you probably know by now, I will be undergoing some major surgery in the not too distant future. I have to have what's called a valve job, repair of leaky heart valves. I've known about the problem for several years, and I have to admit it's been weighing heavily on me for some time. But like all our problems and adversities, it is also an entry into the Dharma, an entry into practice. The last couple of Teisho by Peggy and Karen Senseis have brought up the matter of sickness, particularly with reference to the Sutra of Vimalakirti. Sutra of Vimalakirti is one of the foundational scriptures of Mahayana Buddhism. But Vimalakirti is actually a fictional character. He crops up some 200 years after the Buddha's passing. He was created or evolved to be the spokesperson for the rising Mahayana school of Buddhism. This is in no way to disparage his teaching. Mahayana was a necessary and vital shift, or maybe a restoration, of the Buddha's message, namely, that all beings, without exception, are Buddha from the very beginning, and therefore empty of any self-nature. It is the bodhisattva path that leads to Buddhahood, not the individual enlightenment of the arhat. This is made abundantly clear in all the Prajnaparamita writings. The bodhisattva is sick because the world is sick. And there is no separation between self and other. Self is lost in other. Other is lost in self. Today we'll take yet another look at this matter of sickness from maybe a slightly different standpoint. Case number 94 in the Shoyoroku, the Book of Equanimity, reads, "When Dongshan was unwell, a monk asked, 'You are ill, teacher. But is there someone who does not get ill?' Dongshan said, 'There is.' The monk said, 'Does the one who is not ill look after you?' Dongshan said, 'I have the opportunity to look after him.' The monk said, 'How is it when you look after him?' Dongshan said, 'Then I don't see that there is any illness.'" The Dongshan in this case is Dongshan Liangjie, who lived from 807 to 869 in the Common Era. This is the master I like to call Dongshan the Elder, not to be confused with Dongshan Shuzhou, Dongshan the Younger, who lived about 100 years later. Dongshan the Elder, along with his disciple Zaoshan, are said to be the co-founders of the Zaodong, or Soto school of Chan, one of the three surviving Zen schools of modern times, along with the Linji and Huangbo schools. This case is what we might call a Soto koan. It's not confrontive. It's not a Dharma combat that we see in many cases of the Wu Men Guan or the Blue Cliff Record, both of which are much more in the Linji style. It is more of a conversation between two equal or nearly equal adepts. Quite a wonderful Dharma dance. Dongshan is unwell. He is ill. What illness he suffers from, we are not told. We're not certain how serious it is. It could be a minor cold or something life-threatening or anything in between. The compiler and commentator of the Shoyoroku, Master Wan Song, says that Dongshan manifested a slight illness and everyone came to look in on him. Now that sounds a bit familiar. Vimalakirti manifested himself as sick. And all the great and famous disciples and bodhisattvas came to visit. Many thousands came and managed to magically fit into Vimalakirti's little 10-foot-by-10-foot hut. Indian legends are like that, filled with magical events and wonders performed by such as the Buddha and Vimalakirti and his other most senior disciples. In his sutra, the Sutra of Vimalakirti, he is described as having served the ancient Buddhas. He had generated the roots of virtue by honoring them and making offerings to them. He had attained tolerance as well as eloquence. He played with the great super knowledges. He had attained the power of incantations and the fearlessnesses. He had conquered all demons and opponents. He had penetrated the profound way of the Dharma. He was liberated through the transcendence of wisdom. He was expert in knowing the thoughts and actions of living beings, yada, 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 yada. It goes on like that for pages. And Vimalakirti manifests himself as sick. Manjusri asks after his condition. Whence came this sickness of yours? How long will it continue? How does it stand? How can it be alleviated? You'd think he'd really cared. And Vimalakirti replies, Manjusri, my sickness comes from ignorance and the thirst for existence, and it will last as long as do the sicknesses of all living beings. Were all living beings to be free from sickness, I also would not be sick. Why? Manjusri, for the Bodhisattva, the world consists only of living beings, and sickness is inherent in living in the world. Were all living beings free of sickness, the Bodhisattva also would be free of sickness. The Vimalakirti Sutra is justly recognized as a profound teaching. But in the present case, we are no longer in India. We're in China. No miracles. No wonders. No Superman, thank you very much. And as for Vimalakirti's torrent of fine words, I shudder to think how Yun Men or Dongshan himself would react. Pow! Okay, I'm being a bit facetious here. But we can see the huge difference between the high-flying grandiloquence of classical Indian Buddhism and the pragmatic, down-to-earth, experiential approach of Chinese Chan. Dogen said that a person who advances in the way is an ordinary person. Layman Pong said, my miracle is cutting firewood and fetching water. And yet, we are all aiming for the same goal. And the austere life of the Buddha was not so different from that of the Chan monk. So, Dongshan is ill. Is this a teaching? Is it the same teaching as that of Vimalakirti? Or is it different? When you or I become ill, is that a teaching? Does this teaching go beyond the fine phrases about I am sick because the world is sick? What about cancer, Alzheimer's, kidney failure, or heart damage? Well, it really depends. How do we receive our illnesses? How do we receive this gift of illness? For it is a gift. Everything that happens to us is a gift, even as everything that we do is an offering. If we can live like that, then we indeed see clearly into Dongshan's or Vimalakirti's illness and our own. One of the most moving statements that I've ever read on this matter is an article entitled "The Unhealed Life." It appeared in the Sun magazine many years ago. Philip Kaplan-Roshi sent a copy of it to my wife, Candy. Candy and Roshi had a connection in that Candy had multiple sclerosis and Roshi was suffering from Parkinson's disease. The article's author, Yael Bethheim, had ankylosing spondylitis, a very painful and crippling joint disease, a bit similar to rheumatoid arthritis in that it is an autoimmune disease with a hereditary component. She describes the pain and suffering of the disease and also how she has struggled with various New Age philosophies about illness and healing. She writes, "For 10 years, I have worked to heal myself. I have eaten the right foods. I have cleansed my body and fasted with vigor and conviction. I have gone to healers. I have had the laying on of hands. I have visualized, relaxed, and prayed. I have analyzed my childhood and worked with my dreams. But I am not healed. My mobility remains impaired. The pain remains constant. All my imagery and prayer has not been able to change anything. One of the hardest parts of this experience has been my constant struggle with the philosophy that we create everything in our lives. It follows then, since I have not healed, that I have somehow missed the right thinking or the right beliefs. In other words, I have failed. This philosophy has been deeply hurtful. It has caused my friends to forego their humanity for the sake of an idea. It has brought me to despair." This is one of the most common and also saddest misconceptions about not just Zen, but spiritual practice in general, and how destructive it can be. It is the notion that illness is somehow a manifestation of a spiritual lack or a weakness, and that the use of modern medical treatments, surgery, drugs, and so forth, is an admission of failure. People have died from such notions. Children have been condemned to death by their parents, who believe that prayer would cure them, and if not, then it was God's will that they die. There are stories of Zen masters who claim to have sat their way through serious illnesses. That's not it. If we think that spiritual practice makes us some kind of superior being who is not affected by the weaknesses of body and mind, we are, as Bethheim points out, rejecting our own humanity and that of others. It is denial, the alienation of ourselves from ourselves and from others. Bethheim continues, "In the silence of this room, I have begun to understand the power of an unhealed life. Even here, I am not alone. The silence is alive with the unfolding of other lives and with the turning and movement of the earth. I began to sense my connection to the world's pain and my part in healing it. I realized that my transformation of pain into love was an act of service for humankind. By embracing my existence, I could bring courage to others to face their own pain and to acknowledge what it had to teach them. And the pain of an unhealed life is the pain of the world's heart made manifest. This is the great truth of the Bodhisattva path, that our illnesses are not some personal burden or failure. It is indeed the world that suffers. Whether it be from ignorance, or from cancer, or syphilis, or MS, or from crack cocaine. And whatever our own personal condition, we all share in it. We all share in the gift of the unhealed life. How does Dongshan share in the gift? When Dongshan was unwell, the monk asked, "You are ill, teacher, but is there someone who does not get ill?" Dongshan said, "There is." The monk said, "Does the one who is not ill look after you?" Dongshan said, "I have the opportunity to look after him. I look after him or her or it." This is the great taking of responsibility. Dongshan turns convention upside down. It's not God will provide. There is no other. I looked after him. Buddha looks after Buddha. This gift of illness is indeed an opportunity, as is the gift of our lives as human beings. Bethheim again. An unhealed life is a statement of our need to work together to heal the whole. It is an opportunity to refrain from turning away, separating our reality from the realities of others. Yes, an opportunity. Every moment. Are you serene and content? Enter there. Are you in pain, fear, and misery? Enter there. Our practice is the discovery of the one who is not ill, and that is not separate from the one who is. And how does he look after him? How do each of us look after that one? That one who is not sick, who is not well, who is not old, not young, not man, not woman, not deluded, not enlightened. We look into the silence. Look into the silence of our lives. Look into the silence that goes beyond the mere absence of sound. The silence that pervades the universe. The silence of the traffic outside. The silence of this voice. The silence of your thoughts, feelings, sensations. To enter into the silence. To see that each of us is the silence, is to enter into the real. That silence is easiest to find in our practice on the mat. But our real task is to become that silence. Become that silence. And then, the monk said, "How is it when you look after him?" What is it when you look? Really look. one of Dongshan's five modes or stages. The verse reads, an old woman oversleeping at daybreak meets the ancient mirror and clearly sees a face that is no other than her own. Don't wander in your head and validate shadows anymore. We look into the ancient mirror and clearly see a face, a mountain, a river, a star, a tree, a teacup, or a dying cancer patient, a homeless person on the mall. All are the face that is no other than our own. And Dongshan says, then I don't see that there is any illness. There is nothing, no thing that is not our own self. There is nothing apart. Thus we don't see that there is any illness. There is only what is. But you have to stop wandering in your head and giving a spurious reality to thoughts and dreams. As I was looking at this matter and working on this Taisho, I came back to my memory of Candy. As her body deteriorated, she was at first angry, frustrated, bitter, as one might expect. MS is a cruel disease. No matter what we did, what treatments we tried, the disease always seemed to be one jump ahead. But in her last years in the nursing home, something happened. Candy began to accept her situation. And even as she was bedridden, functionally almost a quadriplegic, that acceptance, in and of itself, was her gift to the world. It helped me. It helped others who visited her. It helped the nursing home staff people. One of the nurses said that after she died, that Candy's presence there had helped her grow as a person. So it's not about doing something in particular. It is about embracing the here and now. Embrace your wellness, your sickness, your youth, your age, your strength, your weakness. It is about embracing your life, whatever that is. For that life is none other than the life of the world. Together with all beings, we realize the way.